whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us. That whosoever will may come. My Jesus is a loving Savior who gave up His life for me, that forever and ever man might be set free. And whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us. That whosoever will may come. The love of a child for his mother is a love that I can understand. But the love of my Savior is so vast, yet oh so real, that whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us. That whosoever will may come. That's the promise He gave us when He died to save us. That whosoever will may come.
Glory to God for the word whosoever. You know, as I was praying about the preaching this morning, and not this morning, but several days ago, about what God would have us for the congregation this morning, and I began to think and pray about what direction to go. And you know, you would almost think that God's involved in what goes on at church. Because a lot of the things that I'm going to preach on, Brother Green just sang two of the 3 points I'm going to talk about. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, Brother Garner, you'd almost think that there's a God in heaven that actually does want for us what His desire is. And so I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33, if you would please. Jeremiah chapter 33. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3, with our text verse being verse number 3. Jeremiah chapter 33. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God this morning? Jeremiah 33, and beginning in verse number 1. Jeremiah says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. And then I want you to notice verse number 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I want you to notice in verse number 3 that God says, if we'll call unto him, he said, I will answer thee. And notice this, he said, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I want to take that verse this morning and preach to you on this subject, great discoveries in life. Great discoveries in life. Now, Father, would you bless the time we have together this morning? Lord, before I end this message this morning, the trump of God could sound and the voice of the archangel should shout. And Lord, the coming of Jesus Christ could happen even today. And even so, we pray, Lord, come quickly. But if not, I pray that you'd stir our hearts concerning what we're going to look at this morning. Would you open the Word of God up this morning, and may the words of God leap from the pages of our Bible into our heart this morning and grab us for the glory of God. Have your way, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, there have been some great discoveries made in the history of the world. And may I say to you, I did not say there are some great inventions. I said there have been some great discoveries that are made. You see, an invention would be taking something from nothing and being able to come up with it. But a discovery is the uncovering or the exposing of something that already exists that's just unknown to us. You see, for instance, the discovery of America. You know, it's attributed to Christopher Columbus. And you can say, well, I'll debate that. Well, you can debate that all over. I'm just going to call it Christopher Columbus, all right? How about that? And we're going to give him credit for discovering America. You say, but he didn't invent it. No, he didn't invent it and he didn't create it. He discovered it. It was already in existence. It was just unknown to him. Until it was discovered, it was uncovered, it was exposed. Old Ben Franklin, back in 1752, he's attributed with the discovery of electricity. You see, it wasn't that electricity didn't exist. Electricity existed. He just discovered it. He just uncovered it. He just exposed it. And by the way, look around this morning. Look up this morning. Thank God he discovered it. We'd be burning candles this morning. And by the way, you know, sometimes I'm not so sure that that's not what some of us all need to do. Maybe we just all shut the lights off, burn candles, have church by candlelight or by lantern like they used to, and learn to appreciate what God's done for us. Amen. I'm just saying, hey, there's been some great discoveries. America was discovered. Electricity was discovered. Back in 1922, I was reading the other day about Howard Carter, who discovered the tomb of King Tut. You know, there were people that knew that it existed, they just couldn't find it. In 1922, there Howard Carter broke into that tomb on that day, and all of those incredible findings. As a matter of fact, some of you may have been to the King Tut exhibit that passed through town here. So it's been several times, I think, through Fort Worth and Dallas. And as you look at all those majestic things and all of that gold and all of those things, we stand in awe. Why? Because Howard Carter discovered. It wasn't that the tomb didn't exist. It existed. He just didn't know where it was. He had to find it, and he exposed it. And boy, are we appreciative of it today, particularly if you've ever seen any of the artifacts there. 1985 rolled around. You know, we knew the Titanic sunk. We just didn't know where it was until a man by the name of Dr. Robert Ballard in 1985 discovered the Titanic. You see, it was there all the time. He just hadn't found it. You see, and when he found it, and again, the artifacts of that great ship and things have passed through town, and many of you may have gone out to the exhibits and seen that. But may I say to you this morning that all of these discoveries captivated the known world. You see, people were all of a sudden totally interested in what had been discovered and couldn't wait to get more information about those discoveries. You see, people wanted to know how, people wanted to know where, people wanted to know when, they wanted to know who, and our interests were sparked. That's the reason many of you went out to see these artifacts that were pulled up from the bottom of the ocean or from the Titanic, or they pulled out of King Tut's tomb, and on and on and on. I could go about great discoveries. We don't have time to talk about all the discoveries. What I'm saying to you this morning, dear friend, is that these items already existed. They were just unknown until someone uncovered them, until someone exposed them. I'm here to tell you this morning that these discoveries change history, science, archaeology, and exploration for time to come. But I want you to listen very carefully. Although these discoveries were monumental, they don't compare to some of the discoveries I've made in life. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an archaeologist. And I'm not an explorer. I have no expertise in these areas, nor am I pursuing these things. However, in my nearly 50 years of life, I've made some incredible discoveries of my own. You see, it wasn't that they didn't exist. They already existed. It's just they were unknown to me. You see, these discoveries that I've made, they didn't make the newspaper. These discoveries that I made didn't make Time Magazine or CNN News. But they so impacted my life that I've never been the same since the discoveries. You say, what did you discover that's so important? That's more important than electricity, or more important than the discovery of America, or King Tut's tomb, or the Titanic, or on and on and on. May I say to you today that my number one discovery I made in life is that God loves me. So where'd you discover that? Right there. I found out that God loves me. Hey, let me say something to you, dear friend. It wasn't that it didn't already exist. It's just that old Brother Todd had never uncovered it until I found that God loved me. You see, in John 3:16, it'll become the most common verse that you've probably ever read in the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Let me tell you something this morning, dear friend. I found out that God loves me. And may I say to you, there's not a person in this room that can take that away from me. I discovered it and it's mine. Nobody can take that from me. When I found out that God loved me, I'm telling you, I couldn't believe it. Why? I couldn't believe that He loved me so much that He would lay down His life for me. That He would die for me. Why did He do that? Because He loved me. Did you not listen to the singer just a moment ago? I can understand the love of a mama. I can understand the love of a daddy. I cannot understand the love of an infinite God that would care for me and love me. Cannot comprehend that love. But I'm here to tell you, bless God, I discovered it one day. And once I got a hold of it, I went crazy. You know why? Because the thing about it is I couldn't imagine that God would love a person like me. And there's a bunch of people here this morning, you haven't discovered that God loves you. But you listen to this preacher, I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He gave His life for you. He loves you in spite of your failures. In spite of your shortcomings. Some of you are here this morning and you're looking into your heart and say, preacher, I have a hard time believing that God can love me after all that I've done in my life. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven that loves you in spite of yourself. In spite of your failures. In spite of your shortcomings. Doesn't matter what's happened in your life. Never break the love of God. You say, what do I need to do, preacher, to break out of it? You need to discover the same thing I did. That God loves you, gave His life for you in spite of yourself. in spite of your failures, in spite of your treatment for Him. One of the greatest discoveries. Hey, when I discovered God loved me, hey, I never saw it in Time magazine. It wasn't on the front of the newspaper. It wasn't on CNN News. But let me tell you something. It had a greater impact than me than any discovery in the history of the world. You see, I discovered that God loved me. I discovered that He laid down His life for me and loved me in spite of my failures. Can I say to you that He loved me because He created me for Himself? He wants a relationship with me and with you. He has a great desire to have fellowship with you, to commune with you, to speak with you. When's the last time you've talked to God? When's the last time you've taken any time whatsoever and just communicated with God Almighty and thanked Him for giving you life, putting you on this earth? You see, God loves me because He created me for Himself. And may I say to you, He loves me. He's willing to extend some great things to me. He's willing to extend, first of all, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Let me help you with something this morning if you're new. Can I say to you this morning that when you get born again and God saves your soul, that forgiveness there of your sin is for all in eternity, past, present, and future. When you come to Christ, it's forever. But may I say to you, after we get saved, we don't always walk the walk and talk the talk. But there's a God in heaven that loves me, that's willing to extend forgiveness. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sin, listen to me now, and to cleanse us from all, I said all unrighteousness. You say, why would God do that? Because He loves me. And He loves you this morning. It's one of the greatest discoveries that I've made in my life. He's willing to extend forgiveness. He's willing to extend mercy. He's willing to extend grace. He's willing to extend long-suffering. You say, what's that? I ain't never heard of that word before. I'll tell you what that word means. It means He's patient. And He's given you, you say, do we serve a God of second chances? No second chances. You say, we don't? No. Because if we only serve the God of second chances, you're going to have to go tear 1 John 1:9 out of your Bible. No, He's not a God of second chances. He's a God of third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and on and on. You say, why would He do that? Because He loves you. You need to discover that this morning. Wake up! It's there all the time. You're just going to have to expose it, uncover it. My goodness, if He'll love someone like me, He'll love someone like you. Listen, He's willing to extend mercy and grace and long-suffering. May I say to you, He's willing to extend comfort in your day of adversity. Hey, when you look to your left hand and look to your right hand and no man cares for your soul, there's a God in heaven that cares for you and that loves you. And He's willing to embrace you. He's willing to commune with you. Oh, He's a God, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, He's a God of all comfort. Well, you know what that means? That means it doesn't matter what I go through, all means all. It means He's a God of all comfort. You say, well, what if I've lost a loved one? I said all comfort. So what if I'm going through, what if I've bought them out financially? I said all comfort. He's a God that is a God. And He extends comfort. Why? Because He loves you. He cares for you. But may I say also, because He loves you, not only will He extend forgiveness and mercy and grace and long-suffering and comfort, but may I say also, because He loves you, He extends correction as well. Now, I didn't understand it when I was growing up. When mama or daddy would say, I love you, and then they would discipline me. And I'm thinking, how can they love me and discipline me at the same time? But may I say, you understand that because what they're trying to do is they're trying to drive that foolishness that's bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You see, they corrected me because they loved me. And may I say to you today, if you're a child of God this morning, there's a God in heaven that loves you, and He's willing to correct you. If you're not a child of God this morning, may I say to you, He still loves you. And He has a great desire for you this morning. Hey, He loves me so much, and He's willing, now listen to me, to bear my burdens. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, cast all your care upon Him. You say, how much is that? That's all your care. He says, for He careth for you. He said, can you explain to me, preacher, what the word all means? It means everything. It doesn't matter what walk of life you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, what you've done today, what you're going to do in the future. God says, take all your care and cast it upon me. He says, for I careth for you. Individually. There's a God in heaven. Can I say to you, look at all the people in this auditorium. Can I say that there's a God in heaven that can extend divine love to you as an individual and never go slack on His amount of love? You see, you can go down the road and look at your, and as gas prices today, you can see your gas needle go down. But may I say to you, when God extends love, the needle never moves. Hey, He's not short of love. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus spoke and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Say, what'd you discover now? I discovered that God loves me. And all of these benefits come with the love of God. Let me tell you something. When I discovered that God loves me, I don't care what exhibit goes through town. I don't care who discovered what. There's no greater discovery than that to understand and find that God loves you and cares for you, wants to have fellowship with you. That leads me to the second thing I discovered. Because God loves me, I found out that through that love, He wants to save me. Now, I don't know what your childhood was like. I don't know what you were like as a teenager. I don't know what you were like as a young person. But may I say to you, I'm going to put it lightly because we got young people in here today, but I was rotten to the core. And you know what? I think if most of us look back in our life, most of us would probably say, you know what? Boy, I did too. I stunk it up. I was rotten as rotten meat. I was terrible. May I say to you this morning, I don't care what you define as terrible. There's a God in heaven that loves you. And I found out that discovery number two was, not only did He love me, He wanted to save me. He wanted to save me. He wanted to give me eternal life. Man alive, glory to God. So how do you know that? For whosoever. For whosoever. Did you not listen to the song just a moment ago? For whosoever will shall come. That whosoever, you know who that is? That's me. You say, God can't save nobody from Mississippi. I don't understand why He would, but He did. I just discovered that He loved me. And then I discovered, not on top of that, He wanted to save me. You know what He wanted to save me from? He wanted to save me from everlasting fire. He didn't want me to die and go to hell and burn forever. So He loved me, and He wanted to save me. He saved me from everlasting fire. May I say to you that He saved me from Satan's control? Hey, do you know the Scripture says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world? Do you know that the devil only has control in your life that you give him? He can never control your soul and take you to hell if you're a born-again believer this morning. I don't give a flip what somebody says on TV or radio or what you've read in a book. Then listen to me, you go by the Bible. And when it means eternal life, it means eternal life. When it says everlasting life, it means everlasting life. Period. That's what it means. Say, well, that's just your definition. Well, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you go find out from old Noah Webster what his definition of everlasting is? You know what it's going to line up? It's going to line up with the book right there. It's forever and ever and ever. Hey, he saved me from everlasting fire. He saved me from Satan's control. Listen to me. He saved me from sin's destruction in my life. You know where I was headed without Christ? Down the road to destruction. That's where I was headed. And may I say to you, I was going there and loving every minute of it. You say, why were you loving it? Because I was lost. I hadn't discovered that God loved me yet. I didn't discover He wanted to save me. All of a sudden, I found out 20-some-odd years ago, 26 years ago now, I discovered that God loves me and that He wanted to save me. He saved me from everlasting fire. He saved me from Satan's control. He saved me from sin's destruction. I was literally destroying myself until I made that discovery. God wants to save you this morning. He wants to save you from hell. He wants to save you from Satan's control. He wants to save you from sin's destruction in your life. But let me tell you something. I want you to look right up here at my face. He's not going to force Himself on your life. You either come on His terms or you won't come at all. But I'm still here to tell you, He still loves you. Whether you come or not, He loves you. And may I say too, the Scripture says He will love you to the very end. You say, when is that end going to be? If you're without Christ, that end for you will be, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Listen, this is where the love ends. I never knew you. It's over. It's over. Folks, today you don't know what it's like to feel hopeless. But in that day, when people without God will be cast into the lake of fire without God, let me tell you something, they will overcome them the emptiness of hopelessness. No more chances. No more. Hey, I just discovered that God not only loved me, God wanted to save me. He wanted to save me for a relationship. He wanted to save me for service. He wanted to save me so I'd be a witness for Him. Go tell people. Hey, I wonder if old Columbus... Guys, look at here what we discovered. Isn't this something? Guys look around. Yeah, boy, this is something. And the first guy that goes and says, we've discovered a new land, you going overboard. See if you can swim your way back to Spain. We ain't going to tell nobody. I wonder if some of these other guys, I wonder if old Howard Carter, when he discovered the tomb of King Tut, nobody's going to say anything about it. Because if you do, I wonder if the old boy that discovered the remains of the Titanic said, I'm radio up, say, listen, I found it. Don't say a word about it. We're going to keep it to ourselves. We're not going to tell anybody we discovered anything. Well, let me tell you something, my dear friend. When you discover the love of God and you've discovered that He wants to save you, you can't keep your mouth shut. Hey, I'm telling you, for 26 years, and if you don't believe me, ask my family. I can't keep my mouth shut. I say, boy, I wish you would sometimes. You know what? I've tried. But I am what I am by the grace of God. Hey, He saved us. Why? For service. He saved us to be a witness. Hey, I discovered that God is for me. He's for me. He's not against me. He's not trying to set traps so for you and me to keep us from being saved. He's for you. Day after day after day, He's giving us opportunities to come to Christ. You see, He wants me to live forever with Him. You see, part of that great discovery I found that God wants to save me was that once I received it, it was mine forever and ever and ever. Eternally saved, gloriously saved forever with Christ. And nobody can take that discovery from me. See, I thought you said you had three discoveries. Yeah, I do. I discovered that God loves me. When I discover that, I don't know how these other people felt when they discovered what they discovered. But I tell you, when I discovered the love of God, there was something that came through my soul. When I discovered that He wanted to save me and did save me, something run through my soul and I've been able to keep my mouth shut because of it. And yet here we are today with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what we're doing? We're keeping our mouth shut. We need to go tell somebody. And, oh, by the way, if you ain't discovered any of these, you ain't got much to tell. That may be why we're keeping our mouth shut. Amen, preacher. Okay, take your Bible. If you're still there in Jeremiah 33, just flip back a few chapters to Jeremiah 17. I must also let you know, not only did I discover that God loves me, not only did I discover that God wants to save me, but I want you to look, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 17, I discovered something else as well. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So what did you discover, preacher? I discovered that my heart will deceive me. Yeah, it'll deceive you. It will deceive you. You say, preacher, how will it deceive you? Well, first of all, it'll tell you that you are good. You're not a bad person. Hey, we wake up and look at ourselves in the mirror, and you know what we see? Hey, I'm a pretty good old boy. You comb your hair, and you get ready, and you know, you dab yourself up. Hey, and the whole time, you know what your heart say? You're pretty good. You ain't done, and by the way, you know how we come to that conclusion that we're good? Because we compare ourselves to all the bad people. Right? So what we do is we can't compare ourselves to people that are walking with God. So what we got to do is we got to go compare them to all the rotten people, and then therefore compared to the rotten people, we ain't so bad. See, that's the wrong comparison. You need to compare yourself. If you're going to do it with anybody, compare yourself with the Lord. Hey, your old heart will tell you that, hey, I'm not so bad. It'll tell you that you're good. May I say to you, it'll also tell you that you don't need God's help. Would you hold your place there in Jeremiah 17? Turn quickly to Luke 12 for just a moment. Luke chapter 12. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. We get so self-sufficient. The next thing we do, we look around and we think, hey, you know what? I'm good. You ever have all these people? Hey, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. What's happened is we think we're good without God. Look at Luke 12, verse 34. The reason we know that, and the reason that people say, that, hey, I don't need God's help, is because the Scripture says, verse 34, did you find your place there? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The reason that we think, and the reason the old heart deceives us, is because what's happened is we have now embraced things. We've embraced possessions. We've embraced a career. We've embraced money. We've embraced all of these things, and all of a sudden we look around and think, well, you know what? What do I need God for? I got all of these things. And then what we'll do is we'll try to correlate that to blessings. Look what God's doing for me. Now wait a minute. How can God be in it if you're not even giving a tithe and offering off of what you're making? Amen! I just thought I'd throw that in there. Hey, I'm just telling you, folks. The heart will deceive you. You say, you ever been deceived, preacher? I just told you I discovered that. So when did you discover it? About 2 seconds after I got saved. Yeah. And you know what? If you hadn't discovered it either, you will discover that. And you know what else it'll tell you? It'll tell you that there's no consequences for your actions. And yet the Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that, listen to me, that, what you sow, that shall you also reap. And I want you to listen to me, mamas and daddies, sometimes you don't reap it yourself, you'll reap it through your kids. That hurts even worse. I'm just here to tell you that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Your old heart will tell you, hey, there's no consequences for your actions. You know what? Because the thing about it is, we say, well, they're just going to have to sow their wild oats. Let me tell you something. Them wild oats is going to produce some wild, wild rewards. I'm just here to tell you that that old heart is deceitful. It'll tell you there's no consequences for your actions. It'll tell you that it's okay to do what you want. God will understand. Well, I'll tell you what. If you have an opportunity, why don't you ask Ananias and Sapphira that? And see if there wasn't consequences. See if they could do what they want to and God understood. God didn't understand. God didn't understand them going back on their commitment. God didn't understand them stealing from God. God didn't understand them hurting the church. Didn't understand any of that. Say, what happened to them? Go read Acts chapter 5. They were absent from the body and present with the Lord. You see, that old heart will tell you it's not your fault. You're a victim of your circumstances. It's not your fault. You're just born this way. It's not your fault. Folks, let me ask you this. Are people born thieves? No, they're not born a thief. You said, now listen, back up. They're born a sinner, which a lot of times will lead to being a thief, but you wasn't born a thief. You chose to be a thief. You see, but the old heart will say, hey, it's not your fault. You're just a victim of circumstances. May I say to you, listen carefully, it'll tell you that salvation gives you the liberty to live the way you want. You say, you mean I get saved? I can't just live how I want? I don't know. When you get to heaven, ask Lot. See if he could live like he wanted. Say, what did it cost him? Didn't take long after they left Sodom. He's a single man. And when you go back and read about the offspring, you know what they did? They were a hindrance and an absolute thorn in the flesh of Israel all their days. Don't tell me that salvation gives you the liberty to live what you want or the way you want. Let me throw one more thing out there. You see, the old heart, it's deceitful. I discovered it's deceitful. It'll tell you to wait on being saved. It'll tell you this morning, if you're without Christ, oh, you don't have to listen to that preacher. Listen, he don't know when you're going to die. Well, I tell you this, I may not know when, but the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. That means you only got one time. And the thing about it is you say, well, I can control my driving going home. You know what? Yeah, you can. Problem is you can't control everybody else's. Amen, preacher. See, well, the thing about it is we think we can control everything. You ain't controlling nothing. You are totally at the mercy of God. And some of us, if it wasn't for the grace of God, He'd suck the wind out of you so fast. Listen, before your body hit the ground, you'd be out of it. You see, He's going to tell some to wait on being saved. He's going to tell some believers this morning, just wait on serving God. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time to serve God. He's going to tell some this morning, wait on making any kind of commitments. Wait on giving to the church. Oh, we can't give right now. The economy's bad. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut back, or we're just going to do away with our missions giving altogether. What we're going to do is we're just going to cut back on that. He's going to tell you to wait on giving to the church until the economy gets better. Folks, you know what? I've read the book. And if I understand the book correctly, listen to me. I'm not the bearer of bad tidings. I'm just telling you, the economy, as we get closer to the coming Christ, it ain't going to get better. So you know what? We just got to be faithful. We just got to be faithful. Now, let me finish this up and say this. Out of all the discoveries that have ever been made in the history of man, no greater discovery than to discover that God loves you. No greater discovery that coming with the love of God, He wants to save you. And then number three, I found out that even though that God loved me, even though that God wanted to save me, I found out that the old heart deceives me. It deceives me. You see, I know it deceives me because sometimes I think somebody's being kind and honest and stuff when they're doing the whole time is just reaching in their back here for that knife. You see, sometimes you can't always tell who's up and up. You say, well, I bet I can. I bet you don't 100% of the time. You see, the old heart will deceive you. But may I say to you this morning, Don't let it deceive you in waiting. Don't let it deceive you in waiting to come to Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one moving around. This is a very special time during our service. This is an invitation time. How many can say this morning, preacher, without a shadow of a doubt, if the eastern sky split today, the trump of God sound, I'm going up. No question about it. I know I'm heaven bound. Slip your hand way up high as a testimony. Say, preacher, that's me. I know it. I know it. I know it. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, their son couldn't raise their hand.